Part A.
I believe that these doctrines are the foundation to my stability in Christ as a believer actively engaged in the Christian walk. And these 12 doctrines have been key to my life. Over all the years, they've been the key. And the angelic conflict, when I became aware of the angelic conflict, it opened a whole new arena of understanding of what my life was engaged in other than flesh and blood. We are told by Paul in Ephesians that our struggle and fight in this life as a Christian is not against flesh and blood, but it is against something. And he describes it as a highly organized military spiritual war. And we're going to come to that passage today, which most people know as put on the full armor of God. There are many parts to that, though. I think people get so distracted by the full armor of God that they miss what Paul was trying to say. And I hope to move you away from the full armor of God idea and a Roman soldier into the real thing that Paul was saying by analogy. I think sometimes we lose it. He said there are six key doctrines that you have to have every day in your soul. I don't mean that you've studied it and are aware of it. I mean that these six doctrines you understand mechanically. And he says, if you don't understand these six doctrines, you will not fight the good fight of faith in this life against the angelic forces. So this was very important in my life. When I heard that and then gone through a pretty good study on it, I went, wow. Wow. So I bring that to you. This is the fourth study on the angelic conflict. We studied the origin of it. We studied the first attack against mankind to see the five schemes, the bread and butter schemes that the devil uses against humanity. We saw that the angelic conflict, how it fights in the church age. And today we're going to talk about the fight of faith. Paul says that we are to fight the good fight of faith. The good fight. So we're going to talk about that today. If you recall from last week in our study, we found that every church age believer has been enlisted, has been inducted. Much like I was when I went, they called me up and sent me in the army. When I got saved, I was enlisted into the army. I didn't know it at the time, but I became a soldier of the Lord. It's a positional truth. Learning the doctrine of the angelic conflict put me on a course to become a good soldier. Not that I was one, but to be a good one. Since I was one, I should be a good one. There are three things in your Christian life that you should be very familiar with. Your ambassadorship, your priesthood, and to be a soldier. You are a soldier of the Lord. You are an ambassador of the Lord. You are a priest of the Lord. And those three categories are very important for you to understand. We're talking about what it means to be a soldier in the army of the Lord. You can see how the church has failed in this because they've taken all the hymns that deal with it out of the hymn books. Onward, Christian soldiers. They've taken all of them away because they say we're no different than other religious groups like some that we're fighting today because they don't understand the angelic conflict. We don't fight against flesh and blood. Islam fights against flesh and blood. We don't. Christianity doesn't fight against flesh and blood. We're told that our warfare is against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So there is a stark difference in every category when you look at Christianity in regard to other religions. But last time we saw out of 2 Timothy, the second chapter, that every church age believer is a soldier in the army of the Lord. The second thing that we saw is that the soldier of the Lord must fight the good fight. And it's the good fight of faith. The victory's already been won. You don't have to fight to win. You don't have to fight to win. It's hard to get Americans to understand that because everything in our life is about winning. But let me tell you, in Christianity, the war's already been won. Jesus won it. In Colossians, the second chapter, 14 and 15, in Hebrews, the second chapter, 14 and 15, he already won it when he went to the cross. He won it when he went back to heaven to be seated at the right hand of God the Father. He has authority over everything. Victory's already been won. You don't fight the good fight of faith. You don't fight in the angelic conflict to win. The victory is to be faithful because angels watch us. It's all about the divine judgment upon Satan and the angels. That's what the book of Hebrews is about. It's to tell you that. Opens up with it. Goes into the first couple chapters. That's what he talks to us about. So, that's very important that we understand it. Now, let's go to our passage. That is Ephesians 6:10-17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. That's the reason we took that as a separate subject. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, stand firm. Notice how this word stand firm is used throughout. Doesn't tell you to win, tell you to stand firm. Right? Doesn't tell you to win, because winning's already done. What you've got to do is stand firm. So he says, stand firm, stand firm. Notice in verse 11, stand firm. Verse 13, stand firm. Verse 14, stand firm. That's his to me. Used it three times to tell us what we're supposed to do. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Notice this is the only one that has an additional. There's one more. Only two of the six weapons mentioned here have additional information. That's one of them. Notice we didn't have any additional information with any of the other pieces. Did you notice that? Truth, nothing. Righteousness, nothing. Preparation of the gospel, nothing. Right? Are you reading the same Bible I'm reading? All right. But this one he has an idea that which we're able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Therefore, we know that the first four just mentioned are defensive. That's a clue that they're defensive. This is the last piece of defensive weapon that he puts up. These doctrines are necessary to defend your Christian faith. They're necessary to defend your position in Christ. Then he comes and he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. These are offensive weapons. He closed down we have four defensive weapons and two. And let me tell you why the two are mentioned this way. It's because the soldier is ready to go out into combat. He picks up his helmet and his weapon. You understand that? The last two, he picks up his helmet and his weapon. Listen, it's interesting to me that soldiering hasn't changed much. That's what we did when I was in. You know, if you had the right place, you could take your helmet off and you could put your weapon next to you. You could put your helmet off, but your weapon was always next to you. At least that's the way we were trained. And when you got ready to go, and you could take your duffel bag off or whatever, you put that back on. And when you're ready to go, you put that helmet back on and you put that weapon back in position. That's the way they did it. And so the helmet and the sword become the offensive. Now we are ready to engage in combat. All right? So that's very important that you see that. take the helmet of salvation, and watch, here is the other thing. He calls it the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's a phrase that's connected. The Word of God here is called the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we have these two. We have the shield of faith, and we have the sword. We have, listen to me, this is just the way you do it in the language. He closes out the first four saying they're defensive, right? He did it with a phrase. Then he comes along and he says, now we're ready to engage in combat. He does it, and he puts the sword as the most important offensive weapon you have. Put the helmet on, take the sword, and let's do battle. Now, what's really interesting, so that's the way they break them down. I mean, when you study the Greek language, if you study this passage in Greek language, that's the way he's going to break them down. The second thing that's very important about this passage, there's five commands in it. The five imperatives. And I think sometimes we can get caught up with the armor, which is important as far as doctrines, and get caught up in the analogy and lose the substance. The substance, and listen, you would expect this, except he does something very interesting. He gives you five commands, he puts one of them in the present tense, and he puts four of them in the aorist tense. Now that's important. And I'm going to explain the importance of that in just a moment to you. But notice I separated them under point one on your paper. Paul gave five imperatives for the fight of faith in the angelic conflict. Notice in verse 10, the word be strong is a present active imperative, second person plural. And he tells you how you're supposed to be strong. Do you see that? Now look. This is before you put anything on, right? We got no equipment. You've got to be spiritually strong before you put the equipment on. Now, you're already a soldier. So the Lord says, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to learn how to be strong for battle. You know, what do you think our military does when you go in? Where do they send you? Basic training. For what? To get you in shape. Listen, you get in shape before they give you weapons. Did when I was in. You didn't get weapons to the end of the training. You may never get a weapon. Because they're going to drop you out somewhere along the way. And so he says, before we get into the equipment, you've got to learn something. That's how to be strong. Now, how does he tell you to be strong? Very important. He uses two different Greek words to tell you how to be strong. He says, be strong, which is our command, be strong in the strength of, how does he say that, Al? In what? Be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. In the power of his might are two different concepts. In the power of his might. Be strong where? In yourself? You're going to have to fight this war in your strength, in your power, in your might? Nah, nada, nada. No, you have to learn. You've got to go through basic training to learn that this war that you've been soldiered to fight has to be fought in the spiritual, in the Lord, in the power of his might. Excusia quatas. And what does that mean? I mean, those are the words. Strength means that you can always go to capacity. In weightlifting, you're always working towards capacity, especially if you're competitive, right, Jeannie? You're always working to capacity. That's strength. And you have to be trained in strength. It's called strength training. Athletes have it. There's no athlete that's competitive that doesn't have strength training today. When we see how important that is. And the reason is we have to be strong in the strength and the power. The power, the strength. Listen, if you have strength, Jeannie, you can power lift. Power lift. Strength, power lift. Strength, power lift. So it is in the Christian life. This is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is not the armor. This is not truth. This is not righteousness. This is not the preparation of the gospel. This is not faith. This is not the helmet of salvation. This is not the word of God. It is not of that. No, no. This sets over here by itself, listen to me, as a present imperative. All the other sets over here, all the equipment for combat sets in aorist tense. Now, the writer did that to separate these ideas. So when we talk about being spiritual by walking in the power of the Spirit in Galatians 5:16, we're telling you that that's essential. You've got to walk by the ministry of the indwelling Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. What? Don't you know that the Holy Spirit dwells inside your body and your body is the temple of God? How did that occur? Galatians 3:2, when the moment you believed that Jesus was your Savior, that He died for your sins, was buried, and raised from the dead, you receive one of eight works of the Holy Spirit in the church age. One's called indwelling. Now that the Holy Spirit is there, it is your responsibility to walk in the power, in the power. And he calls it dunamis because that's a general term for the two words that are mentioned in our text, strength and power. Dunamis covers those two specialties. Dunamis is the big word, and inside is strength training and power lifting. You will never fight the good fight of faith in the angelic conflict if first you do not understand how to walk in the Spirit and make that a priority before you engage the enemy. You've got to go through basic training in order to put on the equipment and then to engage the enemy. That's why the present tense says that this is continuous action all the time, every day, 7/24s, etc. When you become a good soldier, you can't forget that your strength and power that comes from the Lord is where you're going to be a strong soldier. So you're not going to get fatigued and you're going to be able to listen. When I was in high school, we won more games in the fourth quarter. We beat good teams in the fourth quarter. You know why? Because our coach would take us out to Silver Lake and we would run sand dunes all through the summer. We would run up and down those sand dunes until we threw up, and when we threw up, he gave us a break and we could go swimming. We would cool down, and up and down that hill we would go until we went home. That was called summer training. And we hated it until we started playing football, and when the fourth quarter came, we were the same team we were in the first quarter. And we put away a lot of good teams in the fourth quarter that should have beat us. They didn't have endurance. We had endurance. Listen, we could get through a ball game and still feel like we had another quarter in us. Now the coach didn't like to hear that. But the truth of the matter was, we weren't done. If they'd have said, we're in a tie game, we got to play again, there'd have been no problem with the rest of us. We remember running up and down those sand dunes that we threw up. I hadn't thrown up yet. That's the way we felt. When we got the fourth quarter, we still felt strong. I'm good. I hadn't thrown up yet. This is what we're talking about here. You've got to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That's before you put on the armor so that you can win in combat. Because you're going to, listen, this is not a short win. This is a long fight. This is not one battle. This is a series of battles until the war is over. So that's very important. So when that's in verse 10, be strong in the Lord in the power or in the strength of his might, in the strength of his might. Then he goes into four imperatives and puts them all in the aorist imperative. He tells us in verse 11, put on, that's an aorist imperative, put on the full armor of God. And he tells you why. He tells you why you're going to have the armor, because you're in the angelic war. You're a soldier for war. Now, you're a soldier over here, inducted into the Lord's army. You've got to learn how to be strong. You've got to learn strength and power. How it comes from. How you arrive at it, and that you are now feeling good about the fact that you can do this. Now let's get ready. Let's get ready for warfare. And so he tells us, put on the full armor of God. And he tells us why in verse 11, so that we can stand firm the first time we have to stand firm, so that we can stand firm against the schemes of the devil and struggle, not against flesh and blood, but against the warfare. Listen, he's going to fight you whether you're ready or not. Listen, when you got saved, you're a soldier. He fights a soldier. Secret is to be able to stay in the war, to stay in the fight, to the end. Isn't that right? Fight the good fight until what? Till the end. Run the course until what? The end. Keep the faith until what? The end. And so he tells us that our struggle, put on the full armor of God, because we are in a struggle. It is interesting because he used the definite article, hey, and the word pele. The word pele means a contest. Because we're in a contest. The word for struggle means that we're in a contest. They're trying to get us, we're trying to get them. We've already got them. It's a matter of standing firm. Right? Can they get me? No. What they want to do is get me to surrender my weapons. They want me to quit fighting. They want to, listen, the devil wants me to surrender at some point in my life, either over here in my training, or over here in my equipping, or over here in my combat fighting. He wants me to surrender volitionally so that he can take me captive to do his will. And he's going to either get you, he's either going to attack you in your preliminary training, or in putting on the armor, or in the combat. Be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Listen, here it is. David's a classic example of this idea. When David comes out to face Goliath, he understands he's not fighting flesh and blood. He doesn't fight flesh and blood, and he doesn't fight with flesh and blood. He doesn't fight Goliath in the flesh and blood. He doesn't fight Goliath because he's flesh and blood. He saw that was a spiritual war. Goliath represented a defiance of God. And he represented a soldier of the Lord. That he didn't believe that he had to beat him in flesh and blood, and he didn't believe that he was fighting flesh and blood. Therefore, Goliath, his size, his equipment, his reputation, didn't bother him at all, because this was an angelic conflict. This was a spiritual war. He looked at Goliath and saw something completely different than what the average person... Listen, when King Saul looked over and saw Goliath, he in the flesh saw the flesh. Do you understand that? And so he said, you're going to have fleshly equipment to beat a fleshly deal. And he saw the flesh, and fear went in him. David didn't see it in the flesh. He didn't see it as other people see it. He saw it as a spiritual war. And so when Saul said to him, well, look, Goliath, this is flesh and blood. And listen, he said, no, no, it's not. And here's the answer. He said, listen, when I faced a bear, it was not flesh and blood. I was no match. But I didn't see the bear as flesh and blood. I wasn't struggling against the bear. I was struggling against a spiritual war. And he said, the Lord is my power and my strength. And I depended on that. And he took down the bear. When I met the lion, I didn't see the lion as flesh and blood. I didn't have to fight him in flesh and blood. I saw it as a spiritual war. I looked to the Lord for the power and strength, and the Lord took him down. So when I come to Goliath, I don't see Goliath in the flesh and the blood. I don't have to beat him in the flesh and blood. I couldn't beat him in the flesh and blood. Even if I could, I wouldn't. Because I see him as a spiritual war. You understand that? And I will battle him in the power and the strength of the Lord. The battle, he said, is the Lord's. Doesn't get simpler than that. And let me tell you, I don't care how much Bible doctrine you get. I don't care how many notebooks you fill up. I don't care if you fill up a whole room full of them. You got to come down to basics. You got to be able to use that equipment. You got to beat him in the spiritual warfare. You and I do not fight flesh and blood. And you got to quit seeing things in your life that way. Stop listening to that foolishness. I don't care if it's on the job or in your health or medical, financial. I don't care what it is. Quit looking at it as flesh and blood and that somehow I have to resolve it. You are in a spiritual capacity. The problem with the Christian church is we're like Saul, not like David. We see things in the flesh, we get in the flesh, we get beat in the flesh, and then we go to a corner, suck our thumb, grumble and gripe because God is not there for me. Nothing could be farther from the truth. So we got to quit doing that stuff. So he says, put on the full armor of God to understand your struggle. Who your fight is about, and why you're equipped the way you're equipped.
This concludes part A. Please select part B to continue.